This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa wala amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, I see that the brothers are few and sisters are plenty. I think we should try to change that somehow, inshallah, get more brothers in the hall. I want to start this lecture by reading a hadith from Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said that سَأَلْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَيُّ الْعَمَلِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. I asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, what does Allah love the most? What action does Allah love the most? قَالَ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, prayer on its time. قَالَ ثُمَّ أَيُّن. Abdullah said, after this, what's next? The Prophet said, بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْن. Being loving, courteous with the parents, and doing things to please them. قَالَ ثُمَّ أَيُّن. Abdullah said, what's next? He said, الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Striving in the path of Allah. So three things, huh? Prayer on its time, being courteous and gentle and loving to the parents, striving in the path of Allah. These are the three things that the Prophet ﷺ said are the actions that Allah loves the most. Abdullah said, حَدَّثَنِي بِهِنَّ وَلَوْ إِسْتَزَدُّهُ لَزَادَنِي. He said that I only asked about these three, and had I asked for more, he would have told me more things. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the great explainer of the hadith, he comments on this particular sentence, and he says that in other books of hadith we find Abdullah bin Mas'ud saying that taraktuhu aw taraktu an astazidahu illa ir'aan alayhi aw fama taraktu an astazidahu illa ir'aan alayhi. He said that I didn't ask for more because I didn't want to bother the Prophet ﷺ. And Ibn Hajar, after quoting this, says that this shows the manners of Abdullah radiallahu anhu, and what's something all of us can take away from and be and incorporate in our lives as well, which is being considerate. Being considerate when we are engaging with other people. In this particular instance, Abdullah bin Mas'ud realized that the Prophet ﷺ, maybe he's tired, maybe he is busy with something else. So instead of continuing to ask more and more, even though he knew the Prophet ﷺ would tell him more, he decided, I'm going to stop at three. This is from the beautiful manners of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and this is something that all of us need more of. Being more considerate with other people. I was at a masjid once, and I was praying there, and the parking lot of that masjid is very small. So I was a little late for salah, I had to double park somebody. You know what double park is, right? Someone's parked, and then you park behind them. So I went to the masjid, I prayed quickly. As soon as I finished my salah, I got up and I ran to my car, because I didn't want to hold up somebody. I got in my car, I see that somebody has double parked me. Okay, welcome to Toronto. So I said, you know what, I'm okay. Someone comes and says, what's up with this? I would say, look at that guy, he's the one who is blocking the road, right? Not me. So I'm sitting in the car, and I kid you not, 15 minutes I sat in the car. I have a timer in the car that says, you know, time elapsed. 15 minutes I sat there, the brother in front never came. 15 minutes later, the man finally comes, moves his car, and then all of us, you know, went our ways, unblocking the person who was double parked initially. And like, I didn't have anything to do that night, so no problem. I just sat there chilling. But imagine if I had to do something. Okay? Imagine if I had to go somewhere, had to be at some place. How frustrating would that be? How souring is that experience coming to the masjid, only to find somebody who's not considerate, wasting my time completely. So this is something, brothers and sisters, this is from the manners or something that's called makarimul akhlaq, the beautiful manners, the complete manners that the Prophet said, innama bu'ithtu liutammima makarimul akhlaq. The only reason why I was sent was to perfect these good manners. Is being considerate of who you're engaging with. Is my presence, is my speech, is my question going to harm somebody? Is it going to make it inconvenient for them? These are questions we should ask ourselves and not be, and not just only think about what we are wanting. So this is a beautiful little thing that we can notice here. We can also notice that Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet ﷺ about what to do. Ayyul amali ahabbu ila Allah. What does Allah love the most? And you see, we're talking about leaving a legacy this whole time. Your legacy is built piece by piece by what you do. That's how legacy is built. And it's built by something that's consistent. It's not a one-time, one-shot thing. Salah is every single day. Taking care of parents is a lifelong process. Striving in the path of Allah is not just something you do once, it's something you do for the rest of your life. It's actually a mindset. It's the mindset of always trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we'll get to that. All of these things are not just done once and that's it. They're done consistently. And that's the legacy of the believer. Consistent action, that's what builds the legacy. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, when he asked this question, he asked about what to do. Do you know why? Because your actions express priority. Not your words. Words are cheap. Talk is cheap. What you do matters far more. If I am telling my child, I have three daughters, alhamdulillah. If I'm telling my eldest daughter, don't yell. Okay? But then she sees me yelling at her other siblings or yelling at somebody else. Do my words hold any value in her eyes? None whatsoever, because she will see what I'm doing. She will copy my actions. She's not going to listen to my words. So it's the actions that matter. It's what we do that speaks louder. Abdullah bin Mas'ud was asking, what should we focus on? What are the actions? And that is how legacies are built. Focusing on actions. That is another thing we learn from this beautiful hadith. The three things. Number one was what? Prayer on time. Fantastic. Someone is awake. Yes. Alright. Prayer on his time. The word prayer in Arabic, the word is salah. Correct? This word has two linguistic origins. According to Al-Raghib Al-Asfahani, the great linguist. He says that one possible linguistic origin of as-salah is قَالَ كَثِيرٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ اللُّغَةِ هِيَ الدُّعَى وَالتَّبْرِيكَ وَالتَّمْجِيدِ. It is linguistically, as-salah means dua. And then to provide evidence for this opinion, he says صَلَّيْتُ عَلَيْهِ. That means I prayed for that person. I made dua for that person. And the Prophet ﷺ said once, a very interesting hadith, إِذَا دُعِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامٍ فَلْيُجِبْ وَإِنْ كَانَ صَائِمًا فَلْيُصَلِّ. If you are invited to a meal, someone says, come have some food with me, then you should accept that offer. Okay? That's something you should do. It's part of good manners. Someone is offering you food, they want to sit down and chit-chat with you, unless you have something to do. It's a good thing to sit with somebody and eat. It's always nice to break bread. So, إِذَا دُعِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامٍ فَلْيُجِبْ وَإِنْ كَانَ صَائِمًا. And if you are fasting, فَلْيُصَلِّ. Then, literally, pray. The word the Prophet uses here is pray. I.e., make dua for that person. Don't just say, thanks buddy, I don't want to eat some food. Say, may Allah reward you for your offer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your risk and put blessing in it. I'm fasting, I can't eat. فَلْيُصَلِّ. So make dua for the person who invited you. That's just good manners. The idea here is, the thing to notice, is linguistically, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say فَلْيَدْعُوا, he should pray for them, make dua for them. He said فَلْيُصَلِّ. That's where the first linguistic origin of this word comes from. The salah means prayer, is in its linguistic core means to make dua, to ask Allah to supplicate. And this is an important realization. Do you know why? Because the crux of our worship is the supplication, is the dua. That is the core of our worship, consistently. Okay? When we go for Hajj, what is the day that Hajj is, like that's the main day of Hajj? Arafat. Excellent. What are you supposed to do on Arafat? Dua. You're supposed to ask Allah for anything and everything. Yes? When we're fasting, what is it that we should do before we eat our iftar? Dua. What should we be doing actually most of the time, as much as possible, during the fast? Also dua, because the hadith that says that the dua is mustajab, is answered at the end of the fast, also has a wording that says throughout the fast. So the most recommended action to do while fasting is dua, and at the time particularly of iftar, also dua. When a person is praying, you start our prayer with what? After Allahu Akbar, we say the dua of opening. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jaduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. There's other du'as that the Prophet ﷺ made. There are over 5 du'as narrated in this particular space. You can read any one of those 5 to start your prayer. The starting of the prayer is with the du'a. Surah Fatiha. What is Surah Fatiha? The du'a. What's the du'a in Surah Fatiha? Ihdina as-salat al-mustaqim, isn't it? When you go into ruku', what are you saying? Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, great. But there is dua after dua. Around 10 du'as have been narrated from the Prophet of Allah in the ruku' and in the sajda. All of this is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are finishing your prayer, what do you say at the very end of the prayer? So dua as well. The entirety of their prayer is filled with du'as. And the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he would pray, his prayer was described by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu as إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةٍ فِيهَا تَسْبِيحٍ سَبَّحَ وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةِ سُؤَالٍ سَأَلَ وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِتَعَوُّذٍ تَعَوَّذَ. When the Messenger of Allah would recite an ayah that would proclaim Allah's greatness, he would stop and proclaim Allah's greatness. When he would recite an ayah that had question, meaning something to ask Allah of, mercy of Allah, the paradise of Allah, the great vastness of Allah's mercy, he would stop and ask Allah for that particular blessing, for that particular mercy, for the paradise, for salvation. And then he would recite an ayah that had something where you ask Allah's protection from, or something that you ask Allah's protection from, such as the fire, such as, you know, the whisperings of shaitan, such as something that is evil. The Prophet of Allah would stop and ask for Allah's protection from that thing. So not only was his prayer filled with du'as from the beginning to the end, but his recitation of Quran in the prayer was also an extension of du'a. Every single time. Imam Ahmad actually says that in the madhab, in the Hanbali madhab as an example, this is a mustahab. This is mustahab. وَلَهُ أَيْ يَدُعُوا. Like he says, or like it's said in Zad al-Mustaqna, that it is recommended for the person who's praying to make du'a as a response to the ayat of Quran that he or she is reading. SubhanAllah. Can you imagine how beautiful that prayer is, that you're so engaged at every step of the way, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning to the end, how amazing that prayer would be? That's a truly meaningful prayer. That's the first linguistic origin of the word. Its actual meaning is a prayer. The second linguistic origin of the word salah is fire. Okay? قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَصْلُ الصَّلَاةِ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, which means to burn something. The original word salah means to burn something. So it is described that when you are praying, you are removing yourself from the possibility of entering the fire of hell. That's one. The other thing is that when you are praying, your sins are being burned off. Your sins are being completely removed as if they are burned. Excuse me. So this is, salah is lit. Literally, it is lit because it says in the name. So the idea of prayer is that it removes sins, and it's supposed to be meaningful, like a very, very powerful dua from the beginning to the end. The Prophet said, As-salatu ala waqtiha. When he described the prayer, he said, prayer on its time. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he says that this actually means praying at the earliest time. Okay? Praying at the earliest time. Now, every prayer has a range, correct? Starts at a particular time and ends at a particular time. So Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says that the Prophet ﷺ is referring to praying at the beginning of that range, not in the middle, not towards the very end, not when sun rises in 1 minute and you're like, Allahu Akbar, inna fainakal kawthar, assalamu alaikum. Right? That's not what he's referring to. It is the prayer that's done in the very beginning of time. And the evidence for that is the word Allah, he says, is used for al-isti'ala. It's to show a type of like a dominance. So when it's used in this particular fashion, it is referring to فَتَعَيَّنَ أَوَّلَهُ فَيَتَعَيَّنَ أَوَّلَهُ. It shows that salah at the very beginning is what's being talked about. So salah performed at its earliest time. Do you know why that is important? Because your actions express priority. If a person is praying at the earliest time, and that's their habit, they're praying at the earliest time, that shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that person's number one priority. Nothing matters more to that person than pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it shows. That's why it's number one on this list. When the Sahaba, like Abdullah bin Mas'ud, asked the Prophet, number one thing is prayer on its earliest time. Because it shows that you are willing to move everything to the side. Everything comes number two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes number one. That's what it shows. That's why it's the greatest thing. And if somebody is doing that every single day, every single month, every single year of their life, that is a legacy of greatness. It's simple. We don't have to do something truly groundbreaking. That's not what the religion requires of us. If that opportunity ever comes across, alhamdulillah, that's a great blessing of Allah. But what is required from us that makes us great is something very simple, brothers and sisters. It is to pray on its earliest time, meaningful prayer that connects us to our Lord every single day, 5 times a day. That is building an amazing legacy. The second thing on the list was what? Do you remember? Yes. Birrul walidain. Amazing. If I had candy, I'd throw some candy at you. But I don't. Sorry. The Birrul walidain, I translated it as the following. Being loving and courteous with the parents and doing things that will please them. I'm not making up these translations, actually. I got it literally from Radha al-Sahani and plagiarized the whole thing. Okay? Ibn Hajar comments on this part. He says, when the Prophet says, prayer number one, parents number two, that is something that we find in the Quran. Also, we find in the Quran, Allah says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِي وَالِدَيْكَ. Thank me and thank your parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah, your Lord, has mandated that you only worship Allah, nobody else. Number one. Number two, and be excellent, courteous, loving towards the parents. This is the thing. How many of you chose your parents? Show of hands. A rhetorical question. Nobody chooses their parents. Who chooses our parents for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses our parents. You can choose your spouse, hopefully. But you have no choice when it comes to who your parents are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chose them for you. So when we are doing something good to our parents, is actually our appreciation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is us thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately, because He chose them for us. He chose them for us. The word that's used in the hadith is birrul walidain. Birr, huh? The word birr has three letters, even though you might see only two. It's composed of ba, ra, and ra.
Okay.
This particular word, when you put a fatha on the ba, instead of birr, it becomes bar. Okay. It becomes bar. In the language, bar is the opposite of bahar. Bar is land, and bahar is water.
Okay?
هُوَ الَّذِي يُسَيِّدُكُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Allah is the one who allows you to travel on land and on the sea.
Okay?
الراغب الأصفهاني says, وَاتَّصَوَّرَ مِنْهُ التَّوَسُّعَ فَاشْتُقَّ مِنْهُ الْبِرْ أي التَّوَسُّعَ فِي فِعْلِ الْخَيْرِ. التَّوَسُّعَ فِي فِعْلِ الْخَيْرِ. He says, the word bir is derived from the word bar, which is land. Because when you look at land, it's vast. You have a desert, you have a forest, you have mountains. You have all different types of landscape. It's not just one particular type. It's a variety of things. Yes or no? So, just like there's so many different types of landscape, the idea of piety and righteousness and birr at its core is التوسع في فعل الخير. It is lots and lots of good deeds. It's not just one type. It's not just salah. It's not just sadaqa. It's not just fasting. It's all of that and being good to your parents and having good manners and being truthful, and this and that. That's what birr actually is composed of. It's a variety of things. When somebody asked the Prophet ﷺ about what is birr, he recited the ayah number 177 from Surah Al-Baqarah. Ayah number 177 of Surah number 2, which describes, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. Piety and birr is not just the direction that you face. It's not just the mere rituals, but it is iman. It is giving sadaqah. It is establishing the prayer. It is being patient. It is holding yourself in difficult times, not giving up hope in difficult times. It's being truthful and keeping your word. As you notice, the ayah is describing a variety of good deeds. That's the idea behind birr. It is a variety of good deeds. Just like the land is a variety of lands, birr is a variety of good deeds. So, when it comes to the parents, birrul walidain isn't just, one thing. And it is not the same for every single person. It's a variety of good deeds, and it's different from people to people. What will make my parents happy may or may not make your parents happy. You have to figure that out. But the point is, the spirit of birrul walidain is to do all types of good to make the parents happy. One of the things that also is very important to Birrul Walidain, and we can go on and on about this, but this is just part of the topic, is making dua for our parents. Making dua for them. Sufyan ibn Uyayna says that من صلى صلوات الخمس فقد شكر الله. The person who prays 5 times a day has thanked Allah. And the one who prays for his or her parents after having finished the prayer, فقد شكر لهما. And that person has thanked the parents as well. Praying for the parents was so critical. You know the dua for the parents that's recommended is in the Quran. It's in ayah number 24 of surah number 17, Surah Al-Isra. And the ayah goes as follows: وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And lower your wings, or lower for them your wings out of humility and mercy. And say, my Lord, have mercy upon them, just as they had mercy upon me while raising me as a little baby, as a little child. The great Mufassir Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah, he says that this expression of lowering the wings, right? This is something that we find in the birds. That a bird, when it's scared of a bigger bird, when scared of, you know, like a bird that might kill it or hurt it, it lowers its wings to show that, hey, I'm not here to compete with you. Okay? It lowers its wings to show that I'm not here to take your spot, I'm not competing with you, I'm being humble and I'm lowering myself to you. He says this is the, you know, the image that we find in birds. When Allah says this about the parents, He says, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ. Lower your wings, show that you're not trying to, like, you know, take over, but مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Not because you are afraid of them, but because you love them. That's why. Not because after a certain point, when the child grows, you know, older, the child has more leverage, more power, more status than the parents. Quite often, yes or no? Right? But just because you have more of that, don't forget your beginnings. Don't forget how you were as a little baby. And humbling ourselves in front of our parents is not because we are afraid of them necessarily, but because we love them and we appreciate what they have done. That's what the crux of this ayah is. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Not because that, you know, that the bird that's scared, we're not like that. But we are going to act in humbleness and humility for our parents because they have done so much for us and we love them. It's a very beautiful dua, and Birrul Walidain consists of just making them happy to the best of your ability and making dua for them. Very, very important, brothers and sisters. The last part of the hadith was Al-Jihadu fi sabilillah, striving in the path of Allah. And that is of a variety of things. Raghib says that there's 3 types of it. One is you are fighting an enemy that is clearly an enemy. Or number 2, it is fighting shaitan. Number 3 is fighting yourself. Mujahadatun nafs. Composes of 3 things. And all 3 are applicable when the Messenger of Allah says, Al-Jihadu fi sabilillah. All 3 are applicable when Allah says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. Strive in the path of Allah to the best of your ability. وَجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And strive in the path of Allah with your time and with your money. All 3 are applicable. Not just 1 or 2. All 3. And for us, what is really tough and what really is should be our concern is mujahadatun nafs, fighting our desires. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fi ta'ati Allahi azza wa jal. The person who is a mujahid is the one who is fighting their desires in hopes of, with the goal of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a mindset. This doesn't happen in one day. This is not something that you wake up and you're like, today I will control myself. This doesn't happen that way. It has to be built up. And every single day, some days are good, some days are bad. Some days you take a step forward, and other days you will take a step back. But the point of al-jihadu fi sabilillah is, you keep going. It's meant to be hard, by the way. You know, jihad, the word juhud, is used for something linguistically that's something hard. It's not used for easy things. It's meant to be for things that are hard. So by definition, it ain't easy. But you have to keep going, and it's something, the more consistent the person is, the better the outcome. What does Allah love most was the question that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud asked. And the Prophet said, number one, prayer on its time, particularly the earliest part of time. And this is the meaningful prayer that shows that Allah is priority number one. That's the foundation of our legacy. That's the foundation of it. Number two was birrul walidain, being loving and courteous with the parents, doing things to make them happy, and making dua for them so that Allah is pleased with them. And number three, al jihadu fi sabilillah, striving in the path of Allah. I ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to be able to do all of these three things and build our legacies and our akhirah through this. قول ما تسمعون استغفر الله لي ولكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
just before we proceed to the next speaker, just a reminder that we are going to be having a panel after the next talk. So again, just a little bit. So slido.com, which will be up on the screen. So I spent my time...